This episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by our Patreons. You can support the show by going over to patreon.com/Star Wars Report. Once again, that's patreon.com/Star Wars Report. Howdy and hello, it's the Star Wars Report Podcast, so glad you've joined us. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Please delete as appropriate. Man, it's good to be with you guys. This is episode 180 of the program. Hey, actually not that far off from, I'm trying to think, around Christmas time, we'll be at 200 episodes. Hey, I think more than ever, introductions are in order. I'm the guy who hasn't been on my own show for 4 weeks. It's Riley Blanton, everybody. Sorry to disappoint you. No, this is the Star Wars Report Podcast, and if you like that galaxy far, far away and are excited about all the announcements that just came in, and you're like me, and just appreciative that you can once again look at the internet, which I don't know why you wouldn't be. It's the internet's a wonderful, magical wonderland of Star Wars stuff right now. You're in the right place. This is the Star Wars Report Podcast, and I want to bring in some great friends of mine, and we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff tonight. And I'm going to see if I can remember how to do this podcasting thing. It's kind of a toss-up. So we'll start off with my sister. She's co-founder with me here at the Star Wars Report, and what's the word I want to use? Co-sufferer of Air Force ROTC field training boot camp, ladies and gentlemen. We're fresh off the bus this week, and back in civilization. It's Bethany Blanton.
Hey guys, I am so excited to be back in a place where I'm not being yelled at, where it's not 110 degrees, where I don't have to run with a fractured toe and torn ligaments, and there's phones and internet and Star Wars news.
You forget how wonderful this great world of ours is.
Yeah.
When you don't live in it. We'll get to that. We've got some field training stories, and worry not, they are Star Wars themed. But before we get to that, let's bring in the people who, depending on who you listen to, I will say who held the fort together. They were doing the podcast equivalent of what we were doing. We were securing a forward operating base, a Mach 1 in Camp Shelby, Mississippi, while they were securing the Star Wars Report podcast.
Yeah, they not only held the fort together, they held the fort together and then built a freaking castle around it.
Yes, they did. First we'll start with the Gola versus Own, Stephen Herbert Gloss in the 17th. Welcome to the show, sir.
I'm Steve.
Steve. Oh, this is going to be a great show. I can already tell.
Can I just call you Herbert from now on?
That's not my name.
Okay. And also joining us is from Fangirls Going Rogue and the Star Wars Bookworms podcast here on the Star Wars Report Network. It's Teresa Delgado. How's it going, Teresa?
Hey, everybody. How it's going?
Yes! Nicely done. Nicely done.
Thank you so much, Teresa.
That was such a great bit, by the way, guys. I've been catching up on the Star Wars Report content while I've been gone, and that was a solid episode. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I have to say, I had totally forgotten that your guys' first podcast foray was here on the show.
Indeed it was. I was scared to death because I thought Teresa was this incredible, like, bastion of fandom and everything, and I had no idea that she would become an even greater bastion of fandom that she's become. Teresa's outstanding, and, you know, it's an honor that you brought us together the way you did, Riley.
One thing I've noticed about the Star Wars Report is we do a great job of bringing people together who then go off to do much, much cooler stuff than what we do. I will be honest. Whether it's... I liked. Can we just take credit for Disney Vault talk and Quiz and
well, can't. I think Jason Hunt needs to take credit for Quiz.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Credit. Anyone. And as far as Disney Vault talk goes, that's all Teresa.
But we can take credit for Jason Hunt because.
See, this is why Bethany's got to be around. There we go. No, yeah. So and I probably should have. I did not leave very good or really any instructions, much to your and Teresa's detriment, I'm sure, as far as like what to do. And probably one thing I should have mentioned is like why we were gone so that people would know. I think we mentioned it in the episode a couple weeks ago before we left. But yeah,
I think the listeners thought that Steve and Teresa kidnapped us and sent us to an island to chill out for a little while and then took over the Star Wars Report.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
No, but Steve, did you pay attention for next time where he came in on the music? Because I was listening.
I really didn't, to be honest with you.
Well, I got it covered for next time.
Steve, you like the long intros. You like the music to really flow. And I think you do you. I think it worked well.
Yeah, boo.
No. So, yes, Bethany and I, for a month, were at Maxwell Air Force Base and Camp Shelby, Mississippi, respectively, going through our ROTC boot camp. And it was the mantra that most cadets call it is, it's the best time you'll never want to have again. And it's so true. You make great friends, a lot of trials, a lot of making beds, waking up at 4 o'clock every morning, lots of drill, nothing of which is Star Wars related at all. But you would be surprised. Because it turns out, even in the world of ROTC, as we've discussed on many episodes, Star Wars is alive and well, and people like Star Wars. I don't know if you guys knew this. And I'll tell you what, throughout field training, because it's such an intense environment, it's almost like everything that happens is seared into your brain at a higher level, and you remember things a lot more. And there are a number of very fascinating Star Wars things that happened. But I can't really, we won't take time to go through all of them, but I have to tell you guys this one probably most unique and spectacular Star Wars related event that happened. So we were at Maxwell Air Force Base for the first portion of field training. And on the last training day, when we're getting ready to transit, the training environment's not quite as strict, and we had some time while we were waiting for the buses. So our field training officers, the staff, actually lined up everyone in our squadron. So we had 63 cadets, and we were all hanging out there, and we just took turns where we were supposed to say one interesting fact about ourselves. I'm sure you guys have no idea what's coming. So you have your cadet... Cadet Palmers of the world is like, I love snowboarding. And you have your things like, I play guitar. And it comes around to me, and I have two options. Well, three options, really. And it's, what do I say? Do I actually mention the Star Wars Report? Because, like, I have it's the trump card. I dare say, owning a Star Wars website and podcast and interviewing a bunch of Star Wars people in the world of ROTC, that's a pretty unique thing. So I went for it. And when it came around to me, it was twofold. The first thing I said is, my name's not Jonathan, it's Riley, because I'd been going by my given first name, Jonathan, for the entire 10 days.
I would have been calling you Glenn. What?
There you go. And then, so that was the first shock, but that was dwarfed by the next statement where I said, and this is the thing, is like, I have a flair for the dramatic sometimes to my own detriment. I'll be the first to admit. And I was trying to think of the best, most succinct way to communicate what the Star Wars Report is to someone who has no idea about any of this stuff. So my one sentence is, first of all, my name's Riley, it's not Jonathan, and I've interviewed most of the cast of Star Wars. And so here's the problem, is A, that's not entirely true, because I've interviewed a ton of the cast of Star Wars, but the cast of Star Wars is very large. But like, I was in the zone, I was ready to like make the impact. And I knew in the world of ROTC, interviewing dozens and dozens of the actors is basically like interviewing most of the cast. So it was kind of a toss up. But in my world, there's this glorious silence for a few minutes. Well, maybe not quite a few minutes. It certainly felt like a few minutes. And then everyone was like, "Whoa, put the brakes on. What is this?" And I was like, "I own one of the bigger Star Wars fan sites and podcast networks, and I do a Star Wars podcast, and it's awesome." And first of all, half the cadets and staff didn't believe me. But here's the thing, is the staff actually had their phones. So I was like, "Yeah, just go to StarWarsReport.com/about, and you'll see highlights of the biggest interviews I've done and read all about my site and the staff that we do." And they're like, "Wait, you work for this site? It's like this huge Star Wars site, right?" I'm like, "No, I own the site."
Oh, goodness.
It's mine.
Riley's just going to milk this for all it's worth. It.
I was terrible. I'll be honest.
Please tell me they called you Star Wars Boy the rest of the time.
I was kind of, yeah, that was my thing. But then here's the next thing is everyone then assumes I know the entire plot to The Force Awakens. that was probably one of my favorite moments because the military environment of field training, it's designed to drive any individuality out of you, so that you function basically as this hive-minded team. And you get so far into it and so used to it that that's the kind of thing that just gloriously removes you just temporarily from that environment. And it was glorious. That was probably the best moment for me as far as Star Wars stuff goes at field training. Did your flight figure it out, Bethany? Because I know...
They did. So what happened was, about 3 days before the end, a couple of my flight mates during the exercise, I was a deputy squadron commander at that point, and so I was incredibly busy, and one of them said, "We have something we need to talk to you about at some point. We've discovered something about you." And I'm like,
"See, this is the problem. Okay." The word starts getting around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so later on, when we had a few moments... and we were sitting down to read some mail and stuff. They were like, "Okay, so this is what we found out. We found out that you work with a Star Wars website. Tell us about it." So I told my whole flight about the Star Wars report, and they were sufficiently intrigued. And it turned out that at that time, Bruce Gibson, he does stuff for the Star Wars report as well, and longtime friend and fan of the show, and... he had sent me and Riley letters at field training that included the Dragon Con schedule.
Yep.
So at that point in time, I pulled out his letter and showed them the Dragon Con schedule with the panels that we were on. And
which we haven't talked about yet, by the way, on the show, but yes.
And they were all very intrigued. And they're like, "Oh, wow." So that was pretty fun.
Yes, that... Well, I promise not to belabor the point anymore. I'm sure there will be more stuff that comes up throughout the coming weeks. But the last thing is during those exercise days in the dining facility, the security forces team was gathering and was in between rotations, and I heard two cadets off to the side talking about Star Wars. So of course my ears perked up, and I'm like, "Oh, this is a perfect opportunity." And I'm sitting with my flight, who, of course, by now know that I'm the number one big head honcho of the biggest website, Star Wars website in the world, or at least in there. It keeps building up, right?
Yes, yeah, like, that's the way rumors at field training
would
go.
So you interviewed Harrison Ford, right?
Like, no.
That's when you say, "Sure, yeah, it just didn't, the recorder broke in the middle of it." Yeah,
exactly.
See, Steve would be good at this.
So I hear, "Yeah, man, Qui-Gon Jinn was the bomb. Why'd they have to kill him off at the end of Attack of the Clones? It was stupid." I'm like, "This is
Wait,
so amazing."
What? Hmm.
So I'm literally hearing this conversation about the prequels off in the corner, and you've got like an 18 and 19 year old who I have no idea who they are. They're another flight. Never met them. Never saw them again. But it's just that my ears perked, and of course my entire flight looks at me and they're like, "Is that right?" And I'm like, "No, it's not."
Let me, like, excuse me.
Pardon me.
That's not correct.
Excuse me. I know I'm on the security forces team for defensive fighting position 2, and I need to be reporting there in 07 minutes. But before, let me correct you on Attack of the Clones, please.
Guys, Qui-Gon Jinn did not die at the end of Attack of the Clones, okay?
Exactly. So that was Air Force field training. It was very nice to have internet again. Although I will be honest, we got our phones back the night before we hopped on the buses to head home, which was this past Tuesday as we record. And like I checked Facebook and my email, and I was like, well, what's happened in the world? And I learned that Donald Trump's at the top of the polls, and that Teresa was famous.
Yes.
And I was caught up. That was caught up. So Teresa, evidently you got highlighted in a number of mainstream publications, and more importantly, like Twitter bombed for 48 hours straight.
Oh, it was about a week.
Wow. A week. Good heavens. So things we miss.
You didn't miss it.
Okay. What a fascinating story. Cause I remember the Princess Leia story for the figure broke out, right before we left, but we didn't have a chance to talk about it. But, Teresa, you're famous. It turns out, Teresa, you are the queen of social media when it comes to Star Wars stuff. And,
wouldn't go that far, but, I just apparently know how to say just the right thing to piss off everybody.
So tell us, for those of us who didn't live through it in the moment, what exactly happened?
So I opened my mouth when I should not have. And I said things.
How it's going.
And then people got like how it's going. And then people got angry. And then people attacked me. And then I ran and hid for a while. And then Steve talked like Michael Jackson as Jar Jar Binks. That's what happened.
Now Bethany is caught up on the Star Wars Report podcast.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I'll explain all of it off air. Because okay. I don't want to relive it.
Okay.
So I guess before we get to the proper news, besides Teresa's ordeal, Steve, any big moments in fandom that we missed in the last couple weeks?
No, not. I mean, you know, we'll get to the D23 stuff here momentarily. I totally non-Star Wars related. I saw the Fantastic Four.
You
went and saw it?
Yeah, it almost broke me. But other than that, we're good to go.
You contributed money to this?
I had
Steven.
I have a disease.
Poor Josh Trank.
Yeah. I don't know, Riley. There's something about self-destruction that I have a hard time feeling bad for someone.
Yes, fair enough. What could have been? What might have been?
So, but that's not Star Wars related. Of course, the D23 stuff came out, and as we already mentioned, Michael Jackson wanted to be Jar Jar.
This is true. Which, by the way, that would have been weird. That's all.
That's why, like,
oh, you guys missed the return of Quiss and the reuniting of Steve and
that's
Carl
true.
On the Star Wars show.
I just started that episode, too, and I'm so excited.
Speaking of, I favorited this tweet the other day from August 11th from @JeffFett on the Twitter. It says, @StarWarsReport, let's invite @SteveGlosson on for a quick comment. Takes over the show.
I have not seen that tweet. That's pretty amazing. So that's kind of what we missed, Bethany. A lot happened and not a lot happened. As soon as Donald Trump starts adding Star Wars to his regale, that would be awesome. But yes, enough. We shall actually, fortunately, Entertainment Weekly and D23 all decided that they'd wait for us, which was nice of them.
Yeah.
So let's talk about
it. Something to report.
Come closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
That's right, folks. D23 just happened. And we have news starting with Rogue One. This is from the questionable site, StarWars.com. I don't know if we can trust this. it's a rare moment in today's day and age where we actually have official word from Lucasfilm. Rogue One, the daring mission has begun, cast and crew announced. And more importantly, they released this amazing first promo shot. And it's different.
It is different. But it's cool.
Yeah, I'll
like it.
Okay, a couple things right off the bat. It's very muted, and it has a very, dare I say, Band of Brothers color scheme. And I like it. Steve, your reaction.
It's definitely different. It's definitely got a, I'll tell you what it looks like to me. It looks like those people that do the really cool pictures of action figures. Looks like that. It's got that same kind of filter on the camera and that sort of thing. As far as Band of Brothers go, I don't know. Maybe it does have that color scheme. I'm just noticing that everything is definitively darker than we're used to out of a screenshot from Star Wars. Normally, the darkness will stand out, whether it's a picture of Kylo Ren in the snow or Vader flanked by stormtroopers here. Just the color scheme, as you pointed out, is muted. It's a lot darker.
Yeah, it is. Muted is the right word to go. And the gentleman in the background, see, this is where I'm trepidatious, guys, because I'm still getting my feet wet, and I feel like I'm behind on Rogue One stuff. But a lot of these casts had been rumored, right?
I'd stay away from rumors, so honestly don't know.
Well,
I think Felicity Jones had been all but confirmed.
Yeah, I definitely heard of Felicity Jones, and I had seen Diego Luna and Donnie Yen rumored earlier. But
Forrest Whitaker, I'd seen a rumor of him, but it was just a rumor at the time.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And Forrest Whitaker, by the way, nowhere to be seen in the promo
Not
image.
This picture. I think this is a picture of our human heroes.
Meaning that
makes sense because Alan Tudyk's not in it either, and he's a stop motion
mocap. Yeah,
yeah, mocap.
Stop motion is when you take little claymation and make.
I know, but I do know correct pants.
You know what? This kind of reminds me the look of it's like Battlestar crossed with The Last Samurai.
Really? So. Well, and I can see like the color
Firefly
scheme.
Firefly to me.
Yes, exactly. Okay, yes.
Take my love.
I take back what I say and agree with Teresa.
Take me where I can
but
stand.
I do have to do the one thing that I'm responsible for doing and pointing out. One girl in this picture.
Ah.
Okay, I'm done.
Well, but the one girl is the main lead.
True. I honestly really don't care. I think it's going to be cool, and I love the image or whatever. And I know that some people pointed out that I guess the – is that – I don't know who's playing the guy that's sitting down on the far right, that he might be blind or something.
That's Donnie Yen, I'm pretty sure.
But some people I just saw on Twitter yesterday when all of this broke that –
He does kind of have that look.
Got that glit. Like, if you zoom in on it, it almost looks like, you know, like he can't see out of his eyes, like, because they're, like, kind of white. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know.
That is, Donnie Yen, according to this picture.
And
who
Kathleen
is Donnie Yen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does a Donnie Yen do?
What is a Donnie?
I don't know
who some of these people are.
I saw another picture where they took the man who's sitting there to her left working on the Ghostbusters proton pack. that's what it looks like, guys. Yeah. Someone took that patch on his arm and they blew it up, and it looks like an Imperial cog. And those little pins in his shoulder look like what they have on their...
Yeah.
And so he may be like an infiltrator or a spy or some such.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. Donnie Yen's been in a lot of martial arts movies, but I'm not familiar with his work. And then they have a quote from Kathleen Kennedy. Let's see if I can find it here. Speaking of Rogue One, she says, it goes in a new territory, exploring the galactic struggle from a ground war perspective, while maintaining that essential Star Wars feel that fans have come to know. Gareth is such an innovative director, and I'm so excited to be working with him. And an extraordinary ensemble cast. And I think, Steve, the reason I went straight to the Band of Brothers reference was twofold. One, they made us watch episodes for leadership stuff at field training. Mm-hmm. Two, which is why it's top of mind. But two, that teaser at Celebration with the audio, I still remember it. It's been months since I've heard it. But the audio from the Rogue One teaser where it kind of just fades to black and you hear the sounds of war. The sound design was very traditional. You didn't really hear a lot of the classic Star Wars sounds. It almost could have been something that you would hear in, of course, now my mind goes blank, in a Tom Hanks famous Steven Spielberg directed war film that
Saving Private Ryan.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Gotcha.
So yeah, I would. I mean, I would love that. I think Star Wars, the Clone Wars, in my opinion, proved that Star Wars can go into like genre specific arenas and do it very well. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to see what they do.
So one thing that might be worth addressing, and we actually were asked about it in the chat, is the change from the anthology to the Star Wars story is what these new spinoff films are being called. They've gotten rid of the anthology, and so it's Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
Yeah,
so
they're ripping off Scott Rifen's My Star Wars Story is what they're doing.
Like, there's this radio personality in South Georgia that really hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. I do have a genuine question about this. Do we know for sure that anthology has been taken away?
I believe that's what they said, yeah.
Yes, they did say that.
The
logo itself is Rogue One, and it looks very much like the Phantom Menace type and the prequel type fonts. And it's got the tracking around it, and then at the bottom it says A Star Wars Story.
I do kind of like this because it brings me back to sort of the mythology feel of Star Wars. But that might just be me.
No, I love this. I actually think it makes a whole lot more sense to say Rogue One, a Star Wars story, and then whatever they call the Han Solo film, a Star Wars story, because it's a story that's happening in the Star Wars universe, but it's not, you know, in the sequential Star Wars.
Well, and I'll be honest, I never liked anthology because it's mistitling it. It's not the correct use of the word because anthology literally means a published collection, and a movie is not a published collection. So I guess if it were three movies and you put them together, it would be an anthology.
Wait, hold the presses though. Stephanie in the chat did link to StarWars.com/news/category/Star Wars Anthology Series is still a thing.
They just haven't changed their linkage. That's all.
I think that's the most likely thing, but it's
tag.
Good to point
it's
out.
A tag is what it is.
Yeah.
D23, they said, and there's some other art. I'm trying to find the art right now that I saw, but I like it because what it allows this thing to do is open up without a crawl.
Yes.
You know, unlike the enumerated films, and you can do kind of a Clone Wars opening where the title just comes up, and then, you know, underneath it, a Star Wars story. I love the feel of it. I like the idea of it, and I like it better than it. Anthology just sounds too grown up, to be honest with you.
It sounds too sterilized, whereas story, it just appeals more emotionally.
Right.
And I'm a complete sucker for that, yes.
Well,
I agree.
Absolutely. And like a last note on this, as far as like the team they put together, basically they've got Greg Fraser, who's going to be the director of photography, who did Zero Dark Thirty and Foxcatcher. And they've got the special effects supervisor, Neil Corbould, who did Black Hawk Down, Gladiator, and Saving Private Ryan. So there you go. They're definitely going for that gritty war film. And I love that idea. Steve, do you think anthology, the Star Wars stories can go too far? Like, because perhaps the experimental stuff worked well in the Clone Wars, but are they at a risk of being too experimental too soon?
Well, you know, Kathleen Kennedy has said that they're just going to do different things with everything. That she mentioned that the Han Solo film will actually be a lot more lighthearted. So I think what we'll see in a Han Solo film is something more along the lines of what we would see in an Indiana Jones type setting, where he's getting the one-liners in, and you know, and the adventure's just going from boom, boom, boom to thing to thing to thing. Whereas this is the story of stealing those Death Star plans. You know, the victory here is not won until the end of A New Hope. It's the first victory they have against the evil Galactic Empire. We see that in the crawl of A New Hope. So it's a big moment. It's a big deal. But, you know, to bust through the lines, to get to wherever they have to go, to steal these plans and get them beamed to the Tantive IV, you know, it's not going to be a cutesy thing. I don't think it's too much or too far. I, you know, I, what just because they're saying it's going to be a ground war thing doesn't mean that they're going to take it out of the Star Wars feel. We saw with Clone Wars a lot of different experimentation with homages to different films and different types of movies and everything. And I think that by the end, they'd found a balance of how they did that. And so I think it's going to be kind of – I think that what's happening here is I think we'll see these people learn from what's come before and do things pretty much just right. The difference – and as you said, this cast photo, this does look different than any other Star Wars cast photo we've seen. Now, granted, you know, we haven't really seen many cast photos like this from the set of Episode 7, but at the same time, it does have a different feel to it. And so – I think the way they market it is going to prepare us all for what it will be.
Also, I'm not convinced that this is, like, the full cast. I think it might be similar to The Force Awakens.
Meaning,
where
like, there's a few small players, or you think, like, they're hiding someone big who's going to make an appearance?
I don't know. It could be either. I do think that there are people missing from that list that we will become attached to as characters, though. So they could be...
Like more girls.
Yes, precisely. It could be more girls, but I don't think that that's the whole cast list.
Well, I do think that, you know, for a long time we've heard rumors about Carrie Fisher's daughter playing Princess Leia. You know, I think we're going to see that come to fruition in this film, where we see her either in the hologram transmission or maybe at the end actually receiving the plans on the Tantive IV. Vader may make an appearance here or there. It's just a matter of all these different little pieces coming together. But I think, you know, this is your main cast. I think these are our heroes.
Yes, absolutely. Drew Struzan has come out of retirement, and he is, he did an exclusive poster for the attendees of D23. That's probably the greatest reason I wish I was in Anaheim, because these things are amazing. Steve, has Kevin Lyle already sent you 3? Because I claim the second one.
Oh, actually, though, I did get a message on Facebook today. I'll give the man a shout. Jim Watari was checking to double check my address, and he is sending me one out.
Oh, holy cow. Aw,
man.
I'm going to put a shameless plug. If you were there, and you like the Star Wars Report, you could just stop your Patreon donation now and instead send us one of these posters.
Lynn, hey,
if you were there and you like me.
There's a lot of people complaining about this poster, guys.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
See, there's some things I... Guys, I'll be honest. All right, there's some things I don't miss about the internet at all.
So... Well, most of the complaints... Well, Steve, go ahead. I have a feeling you're saying the same thing.
You go ahead, Teresa.
Okay, there's a lot of people that are upset and bummed that John Boyega is the one holding a lightsaber in this poster. I think a lot of people were really dead set on Rey being the one that would have the lightsaber and being Force-sensitive and her being the primary, you know... Force user in this film. And all I have to say is this poster tells us nothing.
That's right.
It tells us nothing. He's holding a lightsaber. Okay. He picked it up off the ground. This is no scene in it in particular. It doesn't say why. It doesn't say anything, really.
Well,
so,
and where would that expectation come from? Let's all remember Star Wars Celebration, where they had the amazing costume. Where was the lightsaber clipped again? Upon whom? Which character? Oh, yeah, that's right. John Boyega.
And see, I'm just finding this out, because you guys were all showing me Rey's staff, but you never mentioned the lightsaber being clipped to John Boyega's belt.
Maybe he found it. Maybe he found it. He picked it up, and he's like, "I'm going to use this thing," but he doesn't really know how.
Right. Sure that's what we're seeing. And I'm still convinced beyond convinced, and I have nothing to back that. This is not spoiler. This is speculation. I'm convinced that we'll find out that Rey is Force sensitive.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And honestly, for me, like, I think it's possible that John Boyega is Force sensitive. It's possible that the lightsaber came to him from someone else and he's not Force sensitive, but I think that Rey might be Force sensitive as well, and her staff could be a lightsaber staff. And I mean, to me, it's we don't know enough to be getting upset about that kind of thing yet. It's not as if they have an announcement saying so and so is a Force user and Daisy Ridley's character and Rey is not, you know.
John Boyega has said, I saw this in an article somewhere online, and I'm sorry I don't have it at my fingertips, but I read where John Boyega was talking about, yeah, if the blaster doesn't work, then I can just whip out the lightsaber. And that's kind of what he said, but he didn't say, oh, yeah, I'm a Jedi. But if you start to break things down, let's go back to that very first teaser.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you felt it? There's been an awakening. And the first thing we see is Boyega pop up in the desert. We see Finn.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may very well be that within people like Finn and Rey, you know, what brings them together? What if it's the Force that brings them together and sends them looking for Luke Skywalker kind of thing to be trained by the Master?
Ooh. Yeah, and what if they're both Force-sensitive, and what if they have little Force-sensitive babies?
Uh-oh, are you saying space married right now, Teresa?
No, I'm not. I've no,
you heard it here first.
I don't. No, because I don't. I'm just making crap up now.
Yeah, yeah. Mark pointed out in the chat that even Han has used a lightsaber. So
yeah, so I mean, it's not really that big of a deal, yo.
Hope you smell bad.
I think it's a promo poster, so let's all get that under control. It's not the official movie poster,
right?
Couple quick things. Absolutely love the staff. Yeah. Daisy Ridley's scowl. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's even more beautiful. And then also, two sons. Let's leave that there.
I love how it goes from light to dark, you know, from left to right.
Wait, I'm just noticing that they're two sons.
Wait, what?
I'm telling you, Steve.
Blanton, way to go. I'll tell you what I've noticed and that no one's really talking about. Apparently, someone's on Bespin. In the carbon freezing chamber,
yeah,
down the bottom. Look.
Ooh, yes.
Those are the steps from Bespin.
Well, I mean, one of the figures that we're getting, and I know this has nothing to do with it, but in the first line or wave of 3 1/4-inch figures is Luke Bespin Luke.
This is true. This is true.
Not like that means anything. Mm. They're going to sprinkle some original characters to keep it, yes, you know. Keep them current. But
yeah, some of the toys are already leaking out. In fact,
started on packaging for the 3 3/4 line.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Man, the Black Series Wave 1 is leaking out, too. This is from Making Star Wars, and it looks really good.
Well, I want to give credit where credit's due on that, Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Making Star Wars got it from the Ultimate Toy Collector, Curdo.
Yes,
oh, really?
That's Curdo.
Okay,
yes.
Nice. So this is a Curdo thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
That man, he knows people.
And as we know, the Black Series 6-inch figures have become the bane of my existence. I have a problem, and I've learned to love these. Something I never thought I would. I've learned to love these 6-inch Star Wars figures. And in fact, I just opened a box tonight while we were talking.
Nice.
And he's glorious.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve.
I need more money.
Did you get all 65 of the Hunt for 66?
I sure did.
Oh, good.
Wait, the Hunt for 66? What is the Hunt for 66?
Yes, that's the
digital card trading app.
Oh.
I sure did. And we're all ticked off about the lack of that 66 card.
Yeah, I know.
Execute card 66. Oh man! So we're getting close. Force Friday's coming up. Interesting. Force Friday is Labor Day weekend, and
Friday of Dragon Con,
which is also the Friday of Dragon Con.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be I have to figure out the Star Wars Report coverage of it, but there will be a giant exodus from the Atlanta hotels to a local shopping mall. I don't know which one they're organizing, but we're all going to go raid one Friday night after Dragon Con, and it's going to be amazing. So stay tuned for that. Another quick note on Dragon Con before we jump out. So we're doing stuff. I'm not going to give the exact schedule out because I don't have it in front of me Because I'm a terrible human being and should. But a couple quick things. A, huge thank you to Bruce Gibson, who actually sent it to us, which is how we found out.
Thank you so much.
We found out what panels we would be on via snail mail. So how's that? That was awesome. And also, while I'm thinking of letters, huge shout out to Evan West, who's a listener who sent a really, really nice letter that I got the last couple days of field training. And it was really cool to get something for the Star Wars Report family of listeners, so that was awesome. So huge thank you to Evan West.
No shout outs to me for being a bad friend. I was like, oh, I need to send them stuff. And when I finally was like, what day is it? Oh, it's too late.
Yeah, I got a great email from Riley's mom where Riley had shot me a note of kindness, and I was like, I should really send those guys something, and I'm just a bad friend.
No worries.
See, we were thinking, those guys are just completely taking over the Star Wars Report right now. We'll come back and we'll be like, the Star Wars Report, run by Steve, Teresa, and Mark, and Carl.
Oh, are you kidding me? No, Steve would have kicked Mark out long, like, week two.
Steve would have been like, Mark, don't you have, like, scout stuff to go do right now? You should run do that now.
You know, guys, I was reading some legends the other day, and I was just thinking, Mark, shut up.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
No, Mark, I really did feel bad when I saw that tweet from Jeff Fett, you know, about taking over. I'm like, did I take over? I really tried to let Mark control the tenor in the conversation, but I guess I just do what I always do.
It's why, Steve, it's why the people love you. Well. Embrace it. Embrace it. Also, by the way, Star Wars Land is coming.
Who's excited? Who's going? Who's renewing their annual pass, Riley Blanton?
I know. I'm going. I still have six day passes with park hoppers, and I got to burn them up sometime. And now I have a really good reason to, because Star Wars themed lands are coming to Disney parks, announced at D23. Bob Iger stepped on stage and said what we've all been waiting to say. I believe it was Brian from Tashi Station who sent out this tweet, and I think that's the right attribution. If not, I apologize. But he tweeted out, it's time for the Disney Parks panel, a.k.a. give us Star Wars Land or give us Death panel. And I thought, fair enough. And that's right. Dreams are coming true. And Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando at Disney's Hollywood Studios will be... Well, Teresa, tell us all about it, because you're the...
Well, let's not forget that it is also happening at Disneyland, okay? It's happening both places, so we got to give credit. So what is happening? Well, let me tell you. We are getting a 14-acre expansion at Disneyland and at Walt Disney World for Star Wars Land. Hollywood Studios is also getting Toy Story Land, so... Holy buckets. They are going to have to do a lot of work. You know, they said expansion, so let's just keep that in mind. This is not necessarily repurposing Hollywood Studios to get that 14 acres. They are going to have to expand. Most of what I'm believing will be Star Wars Land is stuff like the – or not Star Wars Land, but Toy Story Land will be stuff like the Backlot Tour and all of that kind of stuff. That will be Toy Story Land, and maybe even the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids area. That will be Toy Story. They're actually going to have to expand outside the walls of Hollywood Studios in order to get that 14 acres for Star Wars. And there is room. Greg and I have looked at the map from satellite view, trying to figure out where it could be. And there was a lot of undeveloped land behind Hollywood Studios. So
So
yeah, there's a road that is a back entrance to Hollywood Studios. So they'll either do one of two things. They will find a way to get us across that road somehow, really cool, or they could close down that road, close down that entrance, make a second entrance elsewhere, and also, you know, so that way it'll just be one cohesive space. Another idea that we had that could happen, which I think would be really awesome, is that they build a Star Wars-themed hotel that's actually tied into the park itself. so that while you're staying in that hotel, you are still right there in the Star Wars land, getting an immersive experience.
Please be a Bespin residence, and then like hire Billy Dee Williams to just be there as the guy who greets you when you walk into the hotel, and he's like, "Hello."
To say you certainly do belong with us here in the club.
Nice. That has to happen.
You know, the thing that a lot of people forget when it comes to Disney World is that they don't actually have to buy new land. They have so much land that is not developed. When they bought all that space, they bought way more than they needed so that they could just build their parks and then their hotels as they wanted to.
Yeah.
So this is not them taking over more of Florida. This is just them taking over more of what they currently own.
Yes.
So
I'm looking around that area right now, Teresa, and it's as you say. There is just a lot of growth, a few, you know, fire roads and, you know, fire break roads and that kind of thing, but mainly just trees and dirt. So
I'm telling you, it's going to be amazing. And Teresa, what do you think? What does this mean? What do you think we'll actually see at these Star Wars themed portions of the park?
Will they tell
us? Mm-hmm. Well, from what they've told us, there will be restaurants and shops. There will be two new ride attractions, one where we will be able to pilot the Millennium Falcon. Okay. And the other one is where we're put in some sort of a battle type deal that we get to kind of control and run. I don't really know what that means, but there is an update coming to Star Tours that will include The Force Awakens, so there is that. Now, everything that is in Star Wars Land, it's going to be a completely immersive land. So from what you guys have seen when you go to Disney, you know, that's kind of immersive. We're talking massively immersive. So anybody who's been to, like, the Harry Potter park over there in the place that we do not name, it is going to be as immersive as that, if not more so, if you ask me. And everything will be canon that is inside of the park. The restaurants and shops will be operated by people that are in-universe. They will have in-universe costumes. There will be aliens. There won't be just human cast members.
Nice.
It's going to be sick.
I don't like the whole canon part of it.
Like canon or in-universe or both?
I saw the same thing Teresa did about the idea that, you know, it's basically a new planet that they're kind of putting you on, and that, but all the, you know, it's the hub of things that are going on. And they said, and it'll be an in canon kind of experience. I'm like, I don't need it to be canon. I don't need to walk around and be like, now this is actually where, you know, I don't need that. But I love the idea of everything else. I love the completely immersive experience. This concept art is just like, are they going to try to do this? Because to step from a realm of Hollywood Studios now into literally a Star Wars planet, Star Wars land, and see Star Wars-esque characters coming around. And there were a few other things as far as like the idea that they're expanding Star Tours, you know, as far as the content that's in there. That's the reason they went back and redid it digitally, so that this kind of stuff could be done. You know, it's vision of George Lucas, by the way. I'm totally excited about this. It's just that throwing that little thing in a can, that seems almost like too much fanboy, fangirl service. Like, if anyone is going to sit around and have a discussion of, what do you think Star Wars Land is canon? That's a dumb discussion, guys. Come on, let's be honest.
Well, I think they're just using the term to just exactly like a fan service thing. You know, they're just trying to say that it's going to be completely immersive, you know, and that we're going to actually feel like we're there on this planet that is, it's an outer rim planet is what they've said. It's one that we've not been introduced to before. It's basically like our last stop before we would go off, like say on a Star Tours shuttle somewhere. It's kind of the idea that I'm getting from it. So, you know, I'm just interested, like I don't know, because Star Tours is so far forward in Hollywood Studios, and like I don't know if maybe they're going to relocate it or what they're going to do, or I have no idea, but I'm super excited about it. The only thing I'm super bummed about is the fact that we are not getting a makeover like thing to Space Mountain like Disneyland will get. Disneyland gets that kind of stuff because it's right next to Star Tours, but there's this new thing coming called the Season of the Force, which is essentially like Star Wars weekends on steroids, from what I'm understanding.
Wait, this is at Disneyland?
Disney World and Disneyland.
Oh, really?
Coming in 2016, early 2016, is Season of the Force. There's music being composed for it right now. There's a new fireworks show being designed for Hollywood Studios. Disneyland is getting a layover for the overlay for Space Mountain to make it Hyper Space Mountain. So it'll have a Star Wars theme to it. And I just... Yeah. They need to redo Space Mountain in Disney World. Sorry, but they do. So that we can do that kind of stuff. And
the Star Launch Bay that's going to be coming interactive.
Yes, the Launch Bay. Oh, that sounds so cool. So, Steve, I don't know as much about that. You might know more about it than me. It kind of confused me when I read about it.
Well, it's basically going to be, if you saw Jurassic World, where they go into the Welcome Center. And there's all this different interactive stuff taking place where, you know, and it's going to be happening at Hollywood Studios and Disneyland, and it's going to incorporate just aspects of all the concept art. Looks like there's several pieces under glass. It looks like there'll be different models and stuff under glass and different costumes around, but also, you know, there are people playing some video games and touching some screens and looking at some artwork and stuff. And so it's basically just going to be almost a mini Star Wars interactive museum of sorts.
Oh, yeah, because they're going to have didn't they say they're going to have artifacts and costumes and stuff from the films and all that stuff there?
That's right.
Yeah, so that's exciting. I think all of it's just really cool. But I know this is not Star Wars related, but we get to be the size of toys going into Andy's backyard, y'all.
That's so exciting.
That's pretty cool. I'm a fan. I'll tell you what, having Disney enter the world of Star Wars, or at least Star Wars into the world of Disney, depending on which way you look at it, is just an extremely exciting prospect. And I could not be more excited, and I'm glad we had the right people on to talk about it, because I literally was just now getting a full picture of what all of this meant, and it's a lot more than I initially thought it was.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you wrapping us up all of a sudden?
I am not. I have one of the...
Steve is determined that we will have the full show. Yes. And guess
yes,
what, Riley?
Full show.
What's that?
What if your flight mates is in the chat?
I know. I saw that. I saw that. There's a certain level...
Hey, Riley.
What's up?
You forgot a news item that I think is very important.
I did?
What do we forget?
Yeah. They've announced the director for... Star Wars Episode 9.
Indeed.
It is Colin... is it Trevorrow?
Trevorrow.
Is that how you say? Trevorrow, who directed Jurassic World, and I am flipping out, man. So excited.
I really am
exciting. So pumped.
Colin Trevorrow, director of the small indie success this summer, Jurassic World. is directing Episode 9. No, that's
also known as that movie where Bethany jumped 15 times because Steve was elbowing her the entire freaking movie.
There was that. That was a thing.
That was a thing.
I had to sit next to Bethany.
This is why
never
y'all
again.
Have to come to Austin, because I want to be there for those movie experiences with you guys, because you'll talk about going to the movies together, and I'm like, but what about Teresa?
And I
what
will be sitting Teresa? Next to Teresa. Because she's nice.
Because you think I'm not going to poke you? No, I'm going to be next to you with my hand on your sleeve going, look, 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 look.
That would be just good.
Yeah, that's true. And he was, before we left for field training, it was rumored that he was doing like the Han Solo spinoff. But I guess indeed it was incorrect, and it's Episode 9. So it's...
I'm sorry. The Han Solo spinoff, the Star Wars story, is going to be directed by the same guys who did Lego Movie.
Oh,
that's right.
I forget
the names.
Let me find out what else. I'll put Christopher Miller and Phil Lord will be doing the Han Solo anthology film. They've done 21 and 22 Jump Street, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, the Lego Movie. And I love their quote was, "We're excited to be working on something that everyone thinks will work." Everything else cracks their heads so like funny. There's no way.
That's so hilarious. Good. That's awesome. So we've got the Holy Trinity. You've got your Abrams, you got your Johnson, and now you got your Trevorrow.
It's interesting, you know, Ryan Johnson and Colin Trevorrow both are fairly untested in the director of Waters. Rian Johnson has done some great small films, and of course Looper was a big hit for him. A lot of people loved Looper and what it brought to the time travel thing. Colin Trevorrow, here's what sticks out to me about him, is not just the fact that he directed Jurassic World. I heard a really good interview with he and Chris Pratt, and he was very aware going into Jurassic World what was beholden upon him to pull off as a director. And he talked about the idea of getting Chris Pratt to play a different character than we'd seen Chris Pratt play before. And that's the thing that stuck out most to me about that movie, is that Chris Pratt, we got to see a Chris Pratt who, though he was funny at times, he was never the goofball. He was never the butt of the joke. That Chris Pratt was the man in control in that movie in a way that we'd never seen him be, whether it was in Parks and Rec or Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever else. And so Colin Trevorrow has a way of knowing. He understands what it is he's going into, and he understands the responsibility that is on his shoulders from fandom, because he puts the same responsibility on himself because he is a fan. And I feel like Rian Johnson's going to be the same way. Rian Johnson tends to skew a bit darker in his movies, and so you get the idea that maybe, just maybe, Episode 8 will be a similar middle part of the story to what Empire was with Episode 5, that we're going to go a little more darker, a little more character-driven, and then come out of that with the big adventure of wrapping up this particular trilogy in a big bad way with Colin Trevorrow directing. And, of course, the fingerprints of Lawrence Kasdan and Kathleen Kennedy and even J.J. Abrams will be very apparent throughout as those guys handle those movies.
Yeah, it's interesting because they chose such an established huge name in Hollywood to launch, but you know, these guys, with the exception of Jurassic World, pretty much totally untested in the realm of big blockbusters.
Also, if I can say something, just discussing all of this makes me go back to the fact that we went from the announcement that Disney bought Lucasfilm and, you know, Legends was ended and the Clone Wars was ended and all of these lows. And I know we've touched on it before on the show, but can I just say again that not only am I really excited about what's coming in Star Wars, but I trust the hands that it was left in.
Yes.
I really do trust Kathleen Kennedy and the way that she intends to run Lucasfilm. And I really like what I'm seeing so far of everything that's coming out. And it seems to be that they are taking full advantage of what talent that they can get, and they're letting the talent run with it in an amazing way.
Absolutely. It's one of those things where ever since the Comic-Con reel was released, there's a certain new level of not even excitement, but like respect for the creative team that has control of it now.
I think the word you're looking for is confidence.
Yes.
Yes, that's a good way to put it, because I'm now so floored by the creativity that seems to be going into this film. There's really no other way I can put it.
Are you in the show?
Shut up!
There's
wow, we have
you gotta leave him wanting more.
24 minutes.
Sadly, I do not.
20 minutos.
Feedback! You have feedback!
We have feedback! We have to do the feedback! It would be rude! It would
we
be
have to do the feedback!
Oh, good lord.
You are
outvoted. There's a revolt! I've lost control of
it's
my own
three
show!
To one.
It's
three to
just.
One.
Oh, God! I had a very poignant point, too! It's good.
Okay, well, okay, we right. will let you make your poignant clear, point clear. If you let us keep going with
no.
the show.
No, I refuse. I refuse.
Turn the music off.
All right. All right, so here we go. I promise somehow I will once again take control of the show. I have no idea how. If this were a Lucy, I'd be failing it. That's one. All right, that's another. That's okay, RT.
Riley laughing at his own jokes. We want to thank everyone for joining us on the Star Wars Report. Riley and Bethany, where can people find you online?
All right. this is insane. All right, quick note. Before we jump out, my point was, my dad, who works for the State Department, just got back on assignment from Uganda yesterday or the day before. And I got to show the man who introduced me, Empire Strikes Back, that Comic-Con reel. And it was a surreal experience. And that is where the excitement, respect, and confidence...
and trust.
...really hit full swing. And I could not be more thrilled. So it is, as has always been the case, and becomes more so the case every day, there's never been a better time to be a Star Wars fan. So, guys, thanks for listening. Man, that does it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Episode 180 is in the can. It's getting towards my bedtime, Steve.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're so young yet so old.
It's so true.
Yes.
Yeah, if you want to find us, make sure you go to StarWarsReport.com/about. You'll find all the links there. Make sure you subscribe to the show. Make sure, if you appreciate the show, if you donate to Patreon at the $2 level, you can ensure each month that we that I'm podcasting right here. At the $5 level, you can ensure that Steve never comes on. No.
Oh, God. Rude.
Be back. It'll be a year and a half before I'm back on the show later.
You want to be on Disney Vault Talk again.
I know, and I'm in trouble now. Yeah, no, seriously. In all seriousness, Steve, thank you so much for holding down the fort and doing such a bang-up job keeping the show together.
Yeah, thank you for asking us and telling me thank you, too. You're welcome.
And,
He got distracted by the chat. I could see it. He Teresa, opened his mouth and then looked at the computer screen.
Teresa,
this is why we're going to bed, because Riley's just like, oh, bedtime.
I'm like, Wally. Teresa?
Yes, sir.
I'll see you in Austin.
Alrighty then.
Make sure you're checking out Disney Vault Talk, all the podcasts at geekoutpodcast.com. And make sure that you're subscribed to our show as well. That's all. Follow us on Twitter. You know the drill. We'll be back next week. Remember, many Bothans died to get me out of field training. That was a thing.
Can't believe you ended the show.
I can't. That was a veritable revolt.
There was a reason.
Seriously,
there was
guys,
a reason.
When they give you leadership evaluations, they evaluate the biggest thing that you have to do is maintain control of your group, and I failed that. I just like,
oh, there's no controlling me, Steve.
Yep.
Oh God. Oh man. No, I can't believe.
Well, Cody Murphy said in the chat.
Wait, what did he say now?
We podcast with all the colors of the wind.
Am I gone?
Oh, now you're back. Now you're back.
Hello?
No, you're here.
Okay. We're here. We're here.
Cody Murphy in the chat said, you lost control the day you met Stephen Tree.
It's so true. It's so true.
Yep. I would agree with that. In the best of ways, though.
Do you want to build a snowman? Doodle 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 doodle.
So, Riley, I don't know if you heard it, but we did our top 10 episode on Vault Talk about music, and one of my songs was Love Is an Open Door, and
yes!
I gave a shout out to you because I think of you every time I listen to that song.
Yes,
because we sing it together.
Nice.
That's awesome. I have to go listen to it now.
Oh man, good times, good times. I can't wait. Star Wars Weekend needs to come around, but in all seriousness, Austin is going to be a thing. I'm already making plans.
These plans are to go kidnap Steve.
Are we still live? We should turn those off.
In about like
there
three
are people.
Yeah, like yeah, this is true. Hey, wow, good lord! I didn't realize this many people were joining us live. This is what I get for actually running the show. Thanks to everybody who joined in the show, except you, Leaky. Stop crashing the party. No. Hey, by the way, everybody listening live, Ben Leakey, my buddy in... I totally forgot to mention this in the show, so I'm leaving this in the post-show. My buddy in the defensive fighting positions during exercise days, which all that means is we had hours, literally, standing guard. So at a certain point, we got bored. And by we got bored, I mean I got bored. So I started quizzing him on Star Wars trivia for literally hours while we were guarding. So it'd be like, I'd be in the middle. So home planet of Padme. And he'd be like, Naboo. And then boom, you'd hear a mortar go off. A mortar, dink, dink. And everyone would go into like,
mortar.
Code red, into a hardened shelter. And I'd still be quizzing him on Star Wars trivia. It was great. Good times.
So much faith in the future of our country's defense.
And on that note, ladies
Steve,
and gentlemen,
it was the only way to cope. It was the only way to survive.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the Star Wars Report podcast.